Warning: this podcast contains foul language, sexual situations, and discussions of drugs and drinking. Yeah.
Welcome to Fuck Shakespeare. All the naughty bits exposed. Our goal is to open your eyes to all the inside info that makes reading Shakespeare way more fun. Any episode might contain dick jokes.
Or essay ideas.
Or anything in between. So listen up. Okay. Hi.
Hi.
Yay.
We are not in the swamp booth.
Nope. We are in the air-conditioned bedroom.
Thank God.
Yay.
I just couldn't do it.
No.
No.
All right. So we're back in the land of the big blue microphone. Whatever that means to you.
For those of you who've been listening all along, you'll recognize.
There's a difference, yes. Definitely a difference. And here we are with the last episode of King Lear.
This play, I know I said it before, but it went so fast.
At least to us, I mean, because it's been so cool and such a wonderful journey of discovery.
I mean, I think it's interesting because I always thought that that first scene of this play went too fast.
Yeah.
Because you'd like leap right in.
I know. And you're like, whoa, someone's banished. Whoa, two people are banished. Whoa, what's going on? Yeah.
But I guess so it's appropriate that the play felt like a blink of an eye.
Hopefully the summer won't be a blink of an eye. Summer's going by too quickly,
yeah,
too.
Right. I've actually seen Lears that were very long.
Interminable. Yeah.
Very long.
Painful and horrible. And then when you're like, oh, good, everyone's dead. Ah, I can go home now.
That sucks so bad.
That's terrible.
It's such a great play.
Yeah.
And then I feel the same way about all of them.
Right. That if they're terrible, they're terrible. And it's like, God, don't. If they're too long, they're terrible. If they go slowly, they're terrible. Do not feel badly about walking out of plays.
I've never done that.
I do it a lot because it's my precious life. And I don't need to waste another hour of it with you people who don't know what you're doing.
Let me ask you a question. Do you ever not finish a book you've started?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've done that, but very rarely.
Yeah, rarely. 50 Shades of Grey, I'm looking at you.
I actually read that whole fucking book.
Oh, I hate that fucking
book. My book club did 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh my God. It's just one long episode of jerking off on that woman's part. It's terrible.
It's terrible.
Terrible.
It's really terrible.
Anyway, so, but don't feel bad. I think, you know, like, people don't always have to have you blow smoke up their ass at the end of the show and go, it was great. You did such a good job. Fuck that. Aaron's looking at me like, no, that's not very nice.
No, you see, you can say things like, I really appreciated the blah, blah, blah.
I had a really good view of the stage. Unfortunately.
There are many things you can say.
Apparently, yes. We have a friend. I'll tell you who he is later, so we won't call him out too much, who, if he really hates a show and he's shaking an actor's hand, he goes, I had such a good seat. And that's so... That's so mean.
I don't even know who that is.
Well, I'll tell you later. So, hopefully we will you to see some wonderful production of King Lear, I hope, someday soon. So, here we are. And remember how we said Edmund and Lear never share the stage?
It's the last scene.
Yeah, there had to be a time. So there's actually just one, they don't speak to each other, but there's just one tiny moment here at the beginning of Act 5, Scene 3, where they're on stage together, but they don't talk. It's awkward.
The natural and the newly natural.
Yeah.
Sharing the stage.
Yeah. And they're all, there are a few different kinds of awkward things in this last bit. Like, the sisters kind of don't get their due here at the end.
What's their due, Diana? What do
I don't
you
know.
Think they deserve?
I'd like their deaths to be really interesting and,
like Lady
and dramatic. Yeah, and more meaty, more, you know. But they almost seem comic here. at the end, like almost farcical.
I feel like Willy was like, okay, they served their purpose. Let's get rid of them.
We're done with them.
We don't need them anymore.
And there's other things, you know, there's Lear and Cordelia. So in the last scene, we see this weird short little scene between Gloucester and Edgar after all that time that they spent together. And we don't get to see their reconciliation. And I think we might have said it a couple episodes ago where it's like, well, Shakespeare made a choice, you know. He had to show us the really, really good stuff at the end.
Also, the, begins with a C, conceit. The conceit of the mirrored families is no longer necessary either, right? Because Lear has found his natural and Gloucester has found his sight, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like the reflection is no longer serving the play at this point.
Nice. Good point. Yeah. Gloucester's reconciled to whatever's going to happen with him. Lear thinks he is, and we're going to hear him reconciled to spending the rest of his life in jail as if it's a great thing.
Well, because but there then, are reasons. We'll
yeah,
get there.
We'll get there. We'll get to that. But yeah. And then we have to have the confrontation of the brothers. Dun, 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 dun. Ed and Ed. Yeah. And it's one of those great moments where two major characters battle it out at the end. And it's so much fun. You have this happen a lot in plays. And we haven't done Henry V yet, but we definitely
need to.
And we will. And you have Hal and Hotspur. Not Henry V. Henry IV. Henry IV, you have Hal and Hotspur, who are both wonderful characters, and they're definitely no villains there. And they talk to each other, you know, they really talk it out before they actually have a fight. That is something that Shakespeare takes care to point out to you, you know, that these two people have a beef, and it's not just they're going to launch into each other and rip each other's heads off. They're going to actually talk about it first. And Ben Jonson said that violence happens when words fail. And so you'll actually see the words fail, you know, and hear the words fail. And that's a great thing. And then there's this weird concept about the rules of chivalry, because if someone comes to challenge you as a knight, you have to do things certain ways. And their patent of nobility needs to be read out, because you don't need to be fighting any petty, scrabbly peasant, you know, who comes up and has a beef with you, you know. As a knight, you can be like, fuck off, I'm not fighting you. And but so Edgar comes in as an anonymous challenger at the end with a, most of the time I've seen him with a mask or some kind of hood or some kind of helmet, so that you don't see who he is right away, or the people on stage don't know who he is. And then he reveals himself later. But by the rules of chivalry, Edmund wouldn't have to fight him if he didn't know who he was.
Edmund
wouldn't have to fight this anonymous challenger. So that's interesting. But he decides to break those rules. And so it's almost as if being a rule breaker is what kills him. In the end.
I'm going with that.
Yeah.
I'm going.
That's kind of interesting. And then we come to the land of troublesome stage directions. So if you were to really try to get someone who's age appropriate to play the part of Lear, you're going to have a big problem in Act 5, Scene 3. Because the stage direction is enter Lear with Cordelia in his arms. Ain't no 80-year-old man who can carry a full-grown woman.
Well, unless she's a little slip-up thing.
Well, even so. So I've seen it done in different ways. Like, I saw a Lear where Lear had her arms around his neck and he was dragging her and she was sort of on his back. That was a crazy thing. I've seen them where she's on some kind of a
conveyance
sheet or something and he's pulling her in. Yeah, so we're giving away the fact that...
Oh, we fucked up. Ignore that.
Well, it's a tragedy. There's very few people left standing at the end. I'm just going to tell you, okay? You know Lear's dying because he's the title character. And what kills him is really fascinating. Incredible. Shakespeare writes it right into the script. We're going to get to that. And then we're left with a king by default. Yeah.
Edgar gets it because no one else wants
Nobody wants to be king after this fucking fiasco.
He's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Recoup the country.
Yep.
And make people trust him again. Because I'm sure the common people are like, what
the fuck is wrong with all
you going
people?
On? What the hell?
You're supposed to be in charge.
Yeah. And if we're living by your example, the whole country is gone to shit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Boy. So we got some good stuff coming up. So, Act 5, Scene 3.
Okay, here we go.
And since we did our drunk Shakespeare thing the first episode, this one, so we don't have to do it now.
That's right. It would be bad to do that right now. I would literally end up sad. On the floor. No, I would be on the floor unable to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm reading Edmund Goneril Kent.
Cordelia.
Oh, great. I'm talking to myself.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Just in the beginning. Well, again, not talking to yourself because Edmund doesn't speak to Cordelia. He speaks about her.
All right, here we go.
All right, so a battle has happened. King Lear and Cordelia have been captured. And here we go.
Some officers take them away, good guard, until their greater pleasures first be known that are to censure them.
Yeah, good guard. It almost sounds like good God. Yeah, guard them carefully until their greater pleasures, the wishes of the people in power, who are going to give the sentence on them, is known.
That would be,
you know,
well, yeah, right.
That would be Albany. And Goneril and Regan.
Yeah, probably. And then Cordelia and shared line.
Yeah, it is a shared line. And whether it's that she cuts him off, I mean, it's really interesting. I don't know, but it's a plus one, but it's a shared line. Maybe she is like, wait, you know, because she says like, We had good intentions and we wanted to do this thing and now we're captured and shit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe like she's cutting off.
Pleading. We are not the first who with best meaning have incurred the worst.
Yeah, and she makes his line into a rhyming couplet.
Yes, she does.
Yeah.
Interesting.
First, worst. That's really interesting.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
For thee, oppressed king, I am cast down. Myself could else outfrown false fortune's frown. Wow. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Fuckity fucking fuck. Right? So many F words. And so for the oppressed king, if it wasn't for you, King Lear,
yeah.
I could face whatever was coming my way without being afraid. But I'm very upset. I'm very upset about them capturing you.
Yeah.
And then she has this last line after those two rhyming couplets.
Shall we not see these daughters and these sisters?
Can't we even speak to them?
Yeah.
And Lear, no, 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 no. Come, let's away to prison. We two alone will sing like birds in the cage. When thou dost ask me blessing, I'll kneel down and ask of thee forgiveness. So we'll live and pray and sing and tell old tales and laugh at gilded butterflies and hear poor rogues talk of court news, and we'll talk with them too. Who loses and who wins, who's in, who's out, and take upon's the mystery of things as if we were God's spies. And we'll wear out in a walled prison packs and sects of great ones that ebb and flow by the moon.
Packs and sects. That's so hard to say.
Yeah.
Whoa!
That's like the disdain that he has for the courtiers, right? I think, right?
Yeah, but like you have to really move your mouth. That actor is going to have to slow down.
So, when I kneel down, I'll kneel down. When you ask me blessing, it's almost like he's reliving that moment of them becoming reconciled when he was like, oh, please, please don't, you know, don't hurt me. And she's like, don't kneel. No. Oh, God. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like he's living that over and over. And so happy about that moment.
Yeah.
That he's like, it doesn't matter if we're in jail, if we're in prison, we could live through that again. Gilded butterflies are elaborately dressed courtiers, so like we're gonna watch the people come and go, and
because
we'll make fun of them,
to
and
be
who
a
cares?
Human being,
yeah,
as opposed to a king.
Yeah,
and
we
he
don't
doesn't
care
where they live as long as they're together.
As long as they're together, take upon us the mystery of things. We'll learn so much about the way that the world works just by watching,
and also
because that's what he's done too,
right? And also, I think prison in those days, maybe you know, wasn't like we envision it now.
Well, for noble people, it should not be. If you look at the period pieces and you see like Anne Boleyn in jail, she had quite a large room with a real bed
carpets
and serving people and such.
Yeah.
And books and, yeah, pen and paper and all kinds of things. So he's imagining that sort of, not rats and disgusting food.
And, right? and being separated from Cordelia.
Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, think about what he is saying is okay and acceptable for Cordelia. She's young.
And she's married.
And she's married. That's shitty. I don't care if I'm with you. I can't spend the rest of my life in jail. That's terrible. You know?
I never really thought of that.
Hmm.
How many times have I seen this play?
So it's like Lear's vision of it, if we actually think of it from her point of view, sucks.
Yeah. Unless she's unhappy in France. I don't know.
I can't imagine.
I know. He gave her an army. I feel like that's a great anniversary gift.
Yeah.
Fuck a diamond ring. Give me an army.
Right, give me an army. Give me an army. And then here's another shared line, because Edmund is like, fuck this. Go take them away.
Right. Take them away.
Upon such sacrifices, my Cordelia, the gods themselves throw incense. Have I caught thee? He that parts us shall bring a brand from heaven and fire us hence like foxes. Wipe thine eyes. The good years shall devour them, flesh and fell, ere they shall make us weep. We'll see them starved first. Come.
So is she actually crying?
She's crying. I think she's crying for him, probably.
Maybe she's also crying for herself.
Yeah. Yeah. So the gods throw incense on these kind of sacrifice, kinds of sacrifices that we're making. The gods actually praise rather than the other way around. Right. Mm-hmm. And then have I caught thee, embraced thee. So there's a hug embedded stage direction there. A brand from heaven and fire us hence. This is a reference to fox hunting, because they took hot brands and they like smoked the grasses right around fox dens so that they would come out.
Yes.
So that they could hunt them. Poor little fox. And then this word's really interesting to me, the good years, because stuck together like that, it's a euphemism for devils. So the devils will devour them. Flesh and fell is their skin before they'll make us weep.
But I thought fell was, I'm so confused.
Fell is evil. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. But the fells of animals are skins.
Okay.
But also, if you separate those two, right, the good years shall devour them. Doesn't matter what they do. The bad things are going to come back to haunt them.
As, right? As we've talked about, the Wheel of Fortune spins round and round.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down.
Look at you with your rhyming couplets.
I'm a poet. God knows.
Off they go to prison. Okay.
And here's Edmund. Come hither, Captain Hark. Take thou this note. Go follow them to prison. One step I have advanced thee, if thou dost, as this instructs thee, thou dost make thy way to noble fortunes. Know thou this, that men are as the time is. To be tender-minded does not become a sword. Thy great employment will not bear question. Either say thou'lt do it, or thrive by other means.
I'll do it, my lord. Captain. So he's like, I've promoted you once, I've advanced you, mm-hmm. but you could go a lot farther if you do what's in this letter, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That great employment, the job I'm asking you to do, will not bear question, should not be discussed with anyone.
Yeah.
Just say yes or no.
And if you do it, I'll promote you. If you don't do it,
I'll probably kill you because you have information now.
Yeah.
Right?
And also, it's so interesting to me how many scissors there are in this.
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. He's like trying to move this
along.
It's an ugly thing he's asking.
Yeah.
Which we'll find out later.
Yeah.
Actually, if you're just an audience member and you're sitting in this audience and don't know what's coming, you don't know what that letter contains.
Right.
But he's asking the captain to do something.
And Edmund, about it, right? Happy when thou hast done. Mark, I say, instantly, and carry it so as I have set it down.
Right, happy. So count yourself fortunate. Mm-hmm. Meaning, like, sign off your letters. The happy captain. Do it right now. And here comes a flourish. Here comes all the rest of the nobility. Albany, Goneril, Regan, etc. Albany. Sir, you have shown today your valiant strain, and fortune led you well. You have the captives, who are the opposites of this day's strife. I do require them of you, so to use them, as we shall find their merits and our safety may equally determine.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You know what? He really is just a blowhard asswipe.
Yeah.
I don't like Albany.
I know. He's a Mr. By the Book, isn't he? Because here he's like, you have some captives. I get to have them because I'm the head honcho here. And then we'll decide what happens to them later.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's blowing smoke up his ass, too.
Yeah, you did really well.
Yeah, so now give me the captives.
So now give me
the captives. Because I'm above you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not going to go over well.
It's not going to go over well. In fact, Edmund cuts him off, right? He's
Edmund, no. Shared line cuts him off. Sir, I thought it fit to send the old and miserable king to some retention and appointed guard whose age had charms in it, whose title more, to pluck the common bosom on his side and turn our impressed lances in our eyes which do command them.
So what did he do? I decided.
Yeah, I made a plan. And I...
to send King Lear off.
Yeah.
Somewhere else.
Yeah.
Some retention. Some retention. Yeah.
And appointed guards.
Yeah. He's got a guard. Yeah. He's captive somewhere. Because his age had charms in it. So he...
oh, he could charm people because he was old.
And because everyone looks at him and goes, don't put the old guy in jail.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But the word charms implies witchcraft.
And King James loved that.
Yeah. So Lear's presence has the power to turn others against us.
Yeah.
And turn our impressed lances, that means the soldiers that we conscripted with their lances, turn them against us, right? Into our own eyes, ding, yeah, right. Ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Right?
Yeah, which do command them. We're in charge of them. With him, I sent the queen. My reason all the same. And they are ready tomorrow, or at further space, to appear where you shall hold your session. At this time, we sweat and bleed. The friend hath lost his friend, and best quarrels in the heat are cursed by those that feel their sharpness. The question of Cordelia and her father requires a fitter place.
Sir, by your patience, I hold you but a subject of this war, not as a brother. Yeah, so he cuts him off too. And apparently this phrase, by your patience, is kind of a polite heads up that you're just going to get a tongue lashing, right? You know, like, excuse me. Yeah.
So I sent him along with Cordelia. My reasoning was the same.
Yeah, for Cordelia.
And they'll come when it's time
for your trial.
To be tried for their
but right
crimes.
Now, like, we're still sweating and bleeding from the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Let's deal with this tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
All these images of the leftovers of the battle. Friend has lost a friend, right? People are mourning. It's bad. And the decisions that we make now when we're all like... are not going to be the good ones.
Right, and then...
which, you know, ironically, he made a decision already.
Right. So, of course, requires a fitter place. We shouldn't really be talking about this here.
No.
Right now.
Yeah. We have other things to discuss right
yeah.
now. Yeah.
And Albany cuts him off.
And then Regan also.
Right.
So he's like, you're not my brother. You're not at the equal status of me. And Regan's like, that's as we list to grace him. So everyone's being rude. Everyone's cutting each other off. Yeah, right. And she's using the royal we, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am going to determine that, excuse me. And by using the word grace, she's implying that she's going to make him noble.
More noble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she keeps using that royal pronoun, which is great. Methinks our pleasure might have been demanded ere you had spoke so far. He led our powers, bore the commission of my place and person, the which immediacy may well stand up and call itself your brother.
And then Goneril cuts her off.
Yeah.
Not so hot. All right, so let's go back. That's as we list to grace him.
Yeah.
So we.
I can exalt him too.
I will exalt him to the same level as you.
Mm-hmm.
And
for all these reasons,
you should have talked to me.
Yeah, you should have asked me before you said that.
Right, you did nothing. You didn't include me at all in this equation.
He was leading my guys.
Yeah,
my regiments.
Right.
So that's equal to being part of me.
Right.
Yeah.
And Goneril, not so hot.
I love that.
You're right. In his own grace, he doth exalt himself more than in your addition. We already see them, beep, 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 beep,
yeah,
like going at each other. He himself is of that level.
Yeah.
Because he's valiant, and he's also now the Earl of Gloucester, and he's also a proven soldier, and he's also, right.
He doesn't need you.
He doesn't need you to elevate.
Your addition is the title that you have, but also the addition of having you, mm-hmm, right? There's a great Italian word for what they're doing. It's called bisticciare.
Bisticciare.
Which is like to argue in this little petty, nasty way.
I would need to write that one down.
Bisticciare.
It's like pipistrelli.
Yeah, it's great. And Regan cuts her off again. In my rights, by me invested, he compeers the best. Yeah. I love that word, compeers. That means he stands equal to. It's got the word peer in it, yeah, right?
By me invested, right?
Yeah.
So she's like, and then Goneril, that were the most if he should husband you.
Yeah. In some editions, that is spoken by Albany, which makes no sense. Zero.
Why would
Albany get in the middle of this? He doesn't care, right?
What?
This is a bitch fight, a girl fight.
Yeah.
Right?
Over Edmund.
Yeah. And then Regan. Jesters do oft prove prophets.
Hola, hola. That eye that told you so looked but a squint.
The eye that said that you were good enough to be with Edmund was half blind.
Yeah, a squint. Yeah.
Yeah. Jealous and crooked. Lady, I am not well, else I should answer from a full-flowing stomach. General, take thou my soldiers, prisoners, patrimony. Dispose of them, of me. The walls are thine. Witness the world that I create thee here, my lord and master.
Lots of peas.
Yeah. Patrimony is inheritance. The walls are thine, the walls of the castle, but also the containment of her own body.
Also, I love...
Everything is yours.
I love from a full-flowing stomach.
Yeah.
It's right, so it means anger, but it's also a little bit of a heads up about what's coming.
What's happening to her? She says she doesn't feel well.
Right.
So full-flowing stomach is also barf, right? Yeah. And then Goneril again cuts her off.
Mean you to enjoy him?
Yeah.
Wait, you think you're gonna get to fuck him?
I don't think so, bitch.
I don't think so.
And then Albany jumps in here. The let alone lies not in your goodwill. So the power to do this, the let alone, is not in your goodwill. I like the ending will. You know, your sexual desire is not going to determine this issue. Because Albany has the power to contradict Regan's choice of husband. Because he's actually in charge of marrying her off now.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, you think so? I don't think so.
Yeah.
And he's going to elaborate on this in a moment, which is unbelievable.
And Edmund. Nor in thine, lord.
Half-blooded fellow, yes. He's like, yes, it fucking is, you fucking bastard. I kind of like that he gets to stand up for one goddamn second, you know, like, I know.
Too little, too late.
And then Regan. Let the drum strike and prove my title thine. So the drum would strike for a major public announcement where they'd announce it in front of all the troops and all everybody.
Right, so she wants to announce her marriage to Edmund.
Right now. And Albany, stay yet, hear reason. Edmund, I arrest thee on capital treason, and in thy arrest, this gilded serpent.
Pointing at his wife.
Pointing at his own wife. For your claim, fair sister, I bar it in the interest of my wife. 'Tis she is subcontracted to this lord.
Sublet.
She had a prior claim. My wife. And I, her husband, contradict your bans.
So bans is announcements.
Right? Announcement of a marriage, yeah. Yes. And he's like, I have to speak out against it because my wife wants him and she came first. And then this is great. If you will marry, make your loves to me. My lady is bespoke. Bespoke. She's already spoken for. So, Regan, you want me? I'm here. And I love guttural.
An interlude. Yeah.
An interlude was like a short skit at the intermission. So it's one of those great acting references in the middle of this.
Yeah, she's like, you're being an asshole.
This is fun. Yeah, this
no,
is
I don't exciting. Think that's what she means. I think she means like, oh, you're putting it on now.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't mean that. He would never.
Of course not. But she's pointing out that it's so like play acting.
Yes, exactly. It's so funny. Right.
Right. And then Albany. Thou art armed, Gloucester. Let the trumpet sound. If none appear to prove upon thy person thy heinous manifest and many treasons, there is my pledge. I'll make it on thy heart. Ere I taste bread, thou art in nothing less than I have here proclaimed thee.
Proclaimed. So he throws down his glove, yeah. Which is a challenge.
Mm-hmm. So the trumpet's going to sound out, and if nobody else comes forward to challenge you, I'll fucking take you on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But can I, you know, just between you and me?
He would totally lose that.
Yeah, Edmund would take him out.
Take him out. But then Regan, sick. Oh, sick.
If not, I'll ne'er trust medicine.
I love that. Right? And so the script says it's an aside. Come on.
It don't need to be.
It doesn't have to be, because how great would that be if Regan hears her and knows that bitch fucking messed with her food? You know? So much better. And in fact, the quarto says poison, but that's like less subtle and interesting and fun.
No, I love medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is the medicine you needed, bitch.
Yeah.
You
Take
know?
Your medicine.
Yeah. I love it. So I just picture them staring at each other after this. Goneril like, yeah, you're going down. And Regan like, holy shit.
Buffy knew.
Yeah.
I think
yep.
I said it directly to her.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I've always done it that way because I think that's much more fun. Right? There's
fun.
A whole lot of shit going on this stage right now. Right? We've got Albany and Edmund who are facing off because, you know, Edmund is like, oh, take you down, motherfucker. Right? And then Regan and Goneril are facing off. I mean, it's so fun. So exciting.
And then Edmund, there's my exchange. So
yeah, here's my glove.
Right,
he takes
up the challenge.
He's like, sure.
What in the world he is that names me traitor, villain, like he lies. Call by the trumpet, he that dares approach on him, on you, who not. I will maintain my truth and honor firmly.
A herald, ho! Albany's like, fine! Fine!
Let's do it!
Yeah.
Do it!
It's like, whoever fucking comes forward, I'm gonna fucking kill them.
Right.
And then here comes a herald, and Albany says to Edmund, actually, trust to thy single virtue, for thy soldiers, all levied in my name, have in my name took their discharge. So I've let all of your soldiers go.
Yeah.
So you have no seconds. You're going to take me on by yourself. That's it. If you die, nobody will avenge you. That's all. And then Regan. Oh, my sickness grows upon me.
Isn't that a shared line also?
Yeah. She's like, hey, this is
guys,
more
I'm
important.
Really sick. I'm not feeling good. Right?
And then Albany says the obvious. She is not well. Convey her to my tent.
He's such a dullard.
Dork. Come hither, herald. Let the trumpet sound and read out this. So do 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 do, and the trumpet, and then the herald.
If any man of quality or degree within the lists of the army will maintain upon Edmund, supposed Earl of Gloucester, that he is a manifold traitor, let him appear by the third sound of the trumpet. He is bold in his defense.
He's ready for you.
Okay. First trumpet.
Of quality or degree is important because it has to be a noble person.
Right.
He's making sure that that's right. Okay. So first trumpet.
And the herald.
Again!
Da-da-da.
Again!
And then enter Edgar armed. Albany. Ask him his purposes, why he appears upon this call of the trumpet.
And herald. What are you? Your name, your quality, and why you answer this present summons.
So again, the word quality, because status.
Yes.
You have to be a certain person to take this challenge. Edgar. No, my name is lost by treason's tooth, bear non, and canker bit. Yet I am noble as the adversary I come to cope. So his name has been taken from him, canker bit, worm eaten. But I'm just as good as that guy over there. The guy that I'm coming to cope, which is to take on. Albany. Which is that adversary? Edgar. What's he that speaks for Edmund, Earl of Gloucester?
Himself. What sayest thou to him?
Draw thy sword. Shared line, plus one, great. That if my speech offend a noble heart, thy arm may do thee justice. Here is mine. Behold, it is my privilege, the privilege of mine honors, mine oath, and my profession. I protest, maugre thy strength, place, youth, and eminence, despite thy victor sword and fire new fortune, thy valor and thy heart, thou art a traitor, false to thy gods, thy brother, and thy father. Conspirant against this high illustrious prince, and from the extremest upward of thy head to the descent and dust below thy foot, a most toad-spotted traitor. Say thou no, this sword, this arm, and my best spirits are bent to prove upon thy heart whereto I speak, thou liest.
Wowie.
Right, he had some shit to say after all this. Yeah. They haven't seen each other since the 14, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, yet am I noble as the adversary I come to cope, says Edgar. And Albany says, which adversary is that? Because there are a lot of people on this stage.
Yeah.
Right. Who are you coming to fight? And Edgar's like, hey.
Some dude who calls himself the Earl of Gloucester. Right?
Yeah.
And Edmund's like, oh, yeah, fuck you. And it is my privilege. You have the repetition of the word privilege, right? So I am allowed to make this challenge because of my oath and my profession. I'm a knight. Okay, I protest. Maugre means despite, and then we have the word despite right below it in the next line. I don't care about your place, your youth, your eminence is your rank. Whoever has raised you up to the Earl of Gloucester, that's bullshit, right? And then I love these hyphenated words, thy victor sword, mm-hmm. so your winning sword, and your fire new fortune. Like fresh out of the forge. Yeah, yeah, they just raised you, right? Barely. I don't care if you're brave. I don't care if you think you're right. So thy valor in thy heart, you're a traitor. And then I love the word father as a line ending, right?
Yes.
And then this high illustrious prince is Albany. So you're conspiring against him. And you're just a toad. Yeah. And I'll prove it. I'm going to, you know. We've got the word.
He was a toad. Do you remember that from Old Brother Where Art Thou? Do not seek the treasure. Anyway, okay, I'm sorry.
Small deviation.
So
we have a lot of use of the word prove.
Yes.
We have to prove this. We have to, you know.
Try it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By trial and all this stuff, right? And then you lie with everything and Edmund cuts him off.
And also to the descent and dust below
thy foot,
a most toad. Spotted traitor. There's a lot of spinning.
He's just like really frothing and getting going. And I think that's why Edmund is just like, dude, I don't have to fight you.
Right. In wisdom, I should ask thy name. But since thy outside looks so fair and warlike, and that thy tongue, some say, of breeding breathes, what safe and nicely I might well delay, by rule of knighthood I disdain and spurn. Back do I toss these treasons to thy head, with the hell-hated lie o'erwhelm thy heart, which For they yet glance by and scarce, I don't know what the fuck I'm saying right now.
So it's like things go, you know, blows going by him.
Which, yeah. For they yet glance by and scarcely bruise, this sword of mine shall give them instant way where they shall rest forever. Trumpets, speak!
Yeah, interesting fight terminology there at the end. So things, blows glancing by him, all of his words, all your words are just passing by me and not wounding me. I don't give a fuck. But I'm going to take out my sword and like redirect those blows back to your face. Yeah, I like this phrase, the well-hated lie. That I feel like he's talking about the bastard thing. Like, I'm so fucking sick of hearing that shit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, overwhelmed. I'm going to throw it all back on you, on you, on your heart. And he says, thy tongue, some say, of breeding breathes, so right, I can hear
sound,
it.
Right, you sound like you're a noble.
I wonder if he recognizes his brother's voice.
He might.
Maybe that's the origin. Like, maybe, like Gloucester, he sort of does, but he doesn't. Like, it, he goes, nah.
But it pokes him.
It pokes, yeah, it pokes really, at him. Yeah. So I'm going to throw all that shit back in your face, and then they fight. So you can see that, like, they both had a lot of ire and a lot of beef when they came to this, but they each get their say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they fight, and it says, fights, the bastard is wounded. And Albany jumps in. Save him! Save him!
Goneril. This is practice, Gloucester. By the law of war, thou wast not bound to answer an unknown opposite. Thou art not vanquished, but cozened and beguiled.
Shut your mouth, dame. That's my favorite line of Albany's, actually, I must say. Yeah. So this is practice. This is trickery. You got tricked.
Yeah.
This is terrible. You didn't have to do this. And you got cheated. Cozened is cheating. Beguiled is deceiving. And then he's like, shut the fuck up. And he's pulled her letter, which Edgar gave him within the paper that he gave him, right? He's like, read this letter, and if you are victorious, then we'll do something about it. If you're not, nobody cares, right? So, shut your mouth, dame, or with this paper shall I stop it. Hold, sir.
So he's going to shove the paper in her mouth to make her stop.
Shut up. Thou, worse than any name, read thine own evil. No tearing, lady. I perceive you know it.
Safe I do. The laws are mine, not thine. Who can arraign me for it?
Most monstrous. Oh, knowest thou this paper?
Ask me not what I know.
And out she goes. That's her last line.
But I love that. Say, if I do, the laws are mine, not thine. I feel like that is her whole... Right there.
Yeah.
That's her whole thing. Motherfucker!
I should have been in charge.
I should have been in charge all along. I'm the oldest child of this motherfucking king.
Yeah.
He married me off to you, you little puny fucking mealy-mouth fucker. And god damn it, what are you going to do? Are you going to arraign me? Fuck you.
Fuck you.
She's just like, wah!
And most monstrous. And he brought that word in earlier when they were fighting, right? Monster. Don't be a monster. Don't be monster your features.
I am just like my father. Yeah. I am my father's daughter. Motherfucker. Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. I love her.
And you know this letter, and she's like, I don't fucking give a shit. Yeah. Right?
Don't even ask me.
Yeah. And then Albany's like, I think that she's at the pinnacle of the craziness that he's ever seen, you know? Mm-hmm. So he's like, go after her. She's desperate. Govern her. Like, restrain her.
Yeah. Yeah, take care of her. Take care of her. Edmund, what you have charged me with, that have I done. And more, much more. The time will bring it out. 'Tis past. And so am I. But what art thou that hast this fortune on me? If thou art noble, I do forgive thee.
Let's exchange charity. I am no less in blood than thou art, Edmund. If more, the more thou hast wronged me. Yeah, interesting. So, you know, there's the question of, is Edmund going to be remorseful at all? You know, let's see what happens. But he uses this word fortune. It was just your luck to beat me. This is not how it was supposed to be, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're If you're important enough, I'll forgive you.
Yeah.
And let's exchange charity is forgiveness. So he's ready to like, okay,
yeah,
let's do this. And I'm not more lowly than you, but I think I'm higher and you have offended me to that degree. And here it is. My name is Edgar and thy father's son. The gods are just and of our pleasant vices make instruments to plague us. The dark and vicious place where thee he got cost him his eyes. Wait. So it's like, I recognize that my father did a bad thing by making you.
This dark place.
Yeah. Our pleasant vices, our pleasure-giving evils, that's adultery. He's definitely referring to Gloucester's sin.
Yeah.
He did this thing and he made his bed.
And then shared wine.
Yeah.
That's spoken right. True, the wheel has come full circle. I am here,
right back where I started. Yeah,
that was the reason why I kept saying Wheel of Fortune.
And Albany to Edgar, sucking up, also, right? He's like, oh, methought thy gate did prophesy a royal nobleness. I must embrace thee. Let sorrow split my heart if ever I did hate thee or thy father. And Edgar, worthy prince, I know it. Albany, where have you hid yourself? How have you known the miseries of your father? Edgar, by nursing them, my lord. List a brief tale, and when 'tis told, oh, that my heart would burst.
List meaning listen.
Listen, yeah, I'm going to tell you. So Albany's like, yeah, your very walk proclaimed that you were a noble person, and I never meant any harm to you or your father. I hope you know that. And he's like, yeah. So then he's going to tell about his last bit of time with Gloucester that nobody else knows. The bloody proclamation to escape that followed me so near. Oh, our life's sweetness that we, the pain of death, would hourly die rather than die at once. Taught me to shift into a madman's rags, to assume a semblance that very dogs disdained. And in this habit met I my father with his bleeding rings. Their precious stones, new lost, became his guide, led him, begged for him, saved him from despair. Never, oh, fault, revealed myself unto him until some half hour passed when I was armed. Not sure, though hoping of this good success, I asked his blessing and from first to last told him our pilgrimage. But his flawed heart, alack, too weak the conflict to support, twixt two extremes of passion, joy and grief, burst smilingly.
That's a beautiful way to say that.
Yeah.
His heart burst.
His heart burst. Because he couldn't take all the stress of the joy of knowing that it was his son and the grief of knowing that he had been with his son all that time and could have reconciled, you know, like it was too much. And he says, never, oh, fault. Like, how stupid of me. I should have told him a long time ago.
Yeah, I should have revealed myself,
yeah,
too. I also think it's really interesting. There have been, in this scene, a lot of T apostrophes, you know? So it's like, assume. There's a lot, I mean, I could go back through, but I'm not gonna. But I just think it's interesting in terms of rhythm and also in terms of sound quality.
It has the, you know, the effect of speeding the action along.
Absolutely.
You know? I think Shakespeare's very well aware that you've been in your seats for 3 hours now. And, you know.
I don't want you to leave before the last
Yes, yeah, it's important, important. Don't worry, we're getting through this part. It's okay. Fast.
Yeah. And Edmund, the speech of yours hath moved me and shall perchance do good. But speak you on. You look as you had something more to say.
Right, so I think we have to believe him
when
he says, the speech of yours hath moved me. Why wouldn't we?
Right.
He
wanted his father's love and approval.
And yeah, he never got it.
And now he can't get it. Now it's too late.
And now his father's dead.
Right.
Yeah. And then he says, you had something more to say. And then there's a couple of lines that are in the quarto that are not in the folio where Edgar is telling that Kent came and found them just at that moment and that he explained himself to Kent. But it's weird. It's a weird piece. And it's not in the folio. So maybe it's like, nah, we don't need that piece. Yeah.
Edit,
because,
edit.
Because again, it's getting too long. And then there's this great moment where this gentleman comes running in.
Help, help, oh, help.
What kind of help? That was Edgar. Albany, speak, man. Edgar, what means this bloody knife?
Gentlemen,
'Tis hot, it smokes. It came even from the heart of... Oh, she's dead!
Albany, who dead? Speak, man.
Your lady, sir. Your lady and her sister by her is poisoned. She confesses it.
And then Edmund. I was contracted to them both. All three now marry in an instant.
Because he knows he's dying. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I'm coming, girls.
And, so he actually was promised to both of them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
That's awkward.
That's really awkward. Yeah. He was just waiting to see how it was going to play out.
Yep. Someone will die somehow.
So, or, you know, we'll figure it out. There'll be one advantaged more than the other. And, yeah. You know.
Well, and if Albany lives, I can't really marry the other one, you know.
Yeah, but also so, I think know. She had intended to not have him. Live. I mean, yeah. I think she is the more powerful sister in that she's the eldest.
Yeah.
What difference does it make? Because they're both dead now. But anyway.
Long live King Edmund in his head.
Yeah, right.
And then Edgar. Here comes Kent. Albany. Produce the bodies, be they alive or dead. Goneril and Regan's bodies brought out. It's also a difficult piece of stage direction. So you've got a bunch of people on stage and you got a couple of dead bodies. It's like a lot. It's a lot. And then he looks at them and he says, this judgment of the heavens that makes us tremble touches us not with pity. Oh, is this he? This is Kent. So he's
I'm
like,
not feeling bad about this.
I don't feel bad. Yeah.
Heaven decided that was what was going to happen. It's okay with me.
That makes us tremble is like we're amazed by their swift justice, the heavens, but I don't really feel sorry. Yeah. And then, oh, here's Kent. And then to Kent, the time will not allow the compliment which very manners urges.
And Kent, I am come to bid my king and master aye good night. Is he not here?
Great thing of us forgot.
This is all.
It's also shared lines. I think because Kent is like, I don't need your manners and your bullshit about
yeah, I
like.
I just want to see. How, I just
came
Lear.
To see the king and say goodnight to him. Where is he? And then I know this great thing of us forgot. Holy shit! I forgot about the king. What the fuck?
Because I'm busy practicing being the king myself.
Yes, and ordering people around. Yeah, and I'm dealing with dead bodies. And then there's been a battle. And like, whoa, fuck! I forgot.
Yeah.
And Albany turns, speak, Edmund, where's the king and where's Cordelia? Seest thou this object, Kent? And he's just like, look at these bodies, shit.
Alack, why thus?
And he's like, why are they dead? What the fuck, Kent?
What happened? Like, the last I saw everybody was alive.
What the fuck? And then Edmund explains, they loved me.
Yet Edmund was beloved. The one, the other poisoned for my sake. And after slew herself.
Albany. Even so, cover their faces. He's like, yeah, that's how it happened. Went.
We're done, though. We're done with the bitches.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also think that that's really, Edmund saying that like, he finally feels loved.
Yeah, something like seen and loved. And
they
did a huge thing for him.
Over me.
Yeah, about me. Yeah.
I was actually loved. Maybe I'm okay.
I'm worthy of love. Too little, too late.
Well, he's dying, so it doesn't really matter. But the thing is, that's the beginning of the unraveling of the whole thing, because there could have been a reconciliation. He could have felt loved and changed his ways. Like
No.
Okay, Edmund, I pant for life. Some good I mean to do, despite of mine own nature. Quickly send, be brief in it, to the castle, for my writ is on the life of Lear and on Cordelia. Nay, send in time.
Albany, run, run, oh run! Edgar, to who, my lord? Who has the office? Send thy token of reprieve.
And Edmund, well thought on. Take my sword,
good
give
idea.
It to the captain. Really? Yeah, they might not believe you if you don't bring something of mine to them.
Yeah.
Good. I'm dying, but that's a good idea.
And Edgar, haste thee for thy life. He's sending somebody out with Edmund's sword.
Edmund, he hath commission from thy wife and me to hang Cordelia in the prison, to lay the blame upon her own despair that she fordid herself.
She killed herself.
She hung herself.
So now we find out what's in that letter. Right. What was in that letter to the
king. So Goneril and I plotted to take her out. Make it look like a suicide.
Yep. Oh, boy. And Albany, the gods defend her. Bear him hence a while, so carry him away. We don't want to let him die on stage because he's not important enough, you know? And just as he is carried out, so notice Lear and Edmund, again, not really occupying the same space. Just as he is carried out, in comes Lear with incredible first line.
How? Oh, you are men of stones. Had I your tongues and eyes, I'd use them so that heaven's vault should crack. She's gone forever. I know when one is dead and when one lives. She's dead as earth. Lend me a looking glass. If that her breath will mist or stain the stone, why then she lives.
So interesting, because he's like, I know she's dead. He's very clear. I know when someone's dead and she's dead.
But then he has a small smidgen of hope,
let's
right?
Check it. And, yeah. and then shared line. Kent, is this the promised end?
Right. So is this doomsday? Because all these people just dropping dead.
Yeah.
Jesus. Or is it judgment day, right? Are we all being set on the scales of justice and tried for our sins? Yeah. And Edgar, or image of that horror? Or is it just one picture of the possibility of
this is all shared. Oh, my God. Why then she lives? Is this the promised end or image of that horror fallen cease?
Yeah. So they're coming fast on each other like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, no, no, no. You know, back and forth. And Albany's line, fallen cease, is really interesting because there's three possible meanings that I found. So one is just kneel down and be quiet because Lear's here. So, like, just shut up. And let him talk. Or it could be a wish for Lear, like, may he fall down and cease. Like, may his troubles be over. May he just die.
And this pain, be relieved of this pain.
Yeah. Or it's heavens punish us all for all this shit, right? May the heavens just fall and everything cease. You know, that's a huge apocalyptic wish.
I kind of right? love that one.
Yeah.
I kind of so really love that interesting. One because he fucked up too. They all did.
Yeah.
Not... Kent,
yeah,
Kent
just wipe us out, for
Kent
fuck's
is
sake.
The only one. Well, and Edgar. But Edgar made stupid decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
everyone But they
else
were the
is...
ones that were trying to salvage the situation and you know, yeah, and then they made human choices of not revealing who they were in time and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And Lear is not paying it. He doesn't care what they're doing. He's just, like, trying to figure out if Cordelia's still breathing. This feather stirs. She lives... If it be so, it is a chance which does redeem all sorrows that ever I have felt.
And, oh, my good master.
Prithee away! And Edgar, 'tis noble Kent, your friend.
So that's all shared, too.
Yeah. If she's still alive, then every sadness I ever had will be wiped out.
Yes.
I don't care. And Kent is trying to...
Get him
to, get his attention yeah. away because he knows she's dead.
Yeah.
And Lear's like, fuck off. And Edgar tries to explain, and he's like, I don't care. A plague upon you murderers, traitors, all. I might have saved her. Now she's gone forever. Cordelia, stay a little. Huh? What is thou sayest? Her voice was ever soft, gentle and low, an excellent thing in woman. I killed the slave that was a-hanging thee.
Gentlemen, 'tis true, my lords, he did.
Did I not, fellow? I've seen the day with my good biting falcon. I would have made him skip. I'm old now, and these same crosses spoil me. Who are you? Mine eyes are not of the best. I'll tell you straight.
Kent. Well, do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So falcon is a sword. If I had had my sword back in the day, I would have fucking carved him up, right? But I'm old, and these crosses, these adversities... Spoil me, weaken me.
But he did kill him.
And then I think
Not
he says...
Not with a sword, though.
Right.
With his bare
with
hands.
With his bare fucking hands. Killed the slave. And then I think he turns to Kent, probably, and says, who are you? You know,
yeah.
Wait a minute. And my eyes, there we are,
ding,
theme
ding.
Word. But I'll tell you straight. I'll either be honest with you, or I'll figure it out in a second.
Yeah. Kent, if fortune brag of two she loved and hated, one of them we behold.
Yeah, so if there are two people in the world that fortune has given a rough time to, it's us two, and I'm looking at you, and you're looking at me, right? Yeah. This is a dull sight. Are you not Kent?
Kent, the same. Your servant Kent. Where is your servant Caius?
Oh, he's a good fellow, I can tell you that. He'll strike, and quickly, too. He's dead and rotten.
Kent, no, my good lord. I am the very man.
I'll so
he's unveiling
straight.
Himself yeah. now. Yeah.
It's the same guy. I've been with you all along, mm-hmm. right? And I'll see that straight, Lear says. I'll deal with that in a moment. I can't deal with that right now.
And Kent, that from your first of difference and decay have followed your sad steps.
You're welcome hither.
Nor no man else. All's cheerless, dark, and deadly. Your eldest daughters have foredone themselves and desperately are dead.
Aye, so I think. He's like, yeah.
I think they are.
I think they are. They've done those kind of things. I imagine they would. And so he's, you know, Kent keeps trying to explain and Lear's like, yeah. Okay. But I think he's already going into his end here, you know? Yeah. Because Albany thinks he's doesn't know what he's saying. But I think he does. Albany. He knows not what he says, and vain it is that we present us to him.
See, Albany hasn't learned the lesson either.
No.
Right?
No.
Keep calling him old. Keep doing it, motherfucker. Yeah.
And vain it is. Useless. It's useless to talk to him, because he doesn't understand. So Albany hasn't learned anything, and he would not make a good king at this point.
He would make a shitty ass king.
No. And Edgar, very bootless, like it's really pointless to continue trying to explain things to him.
Messenger. Edmund is dead, my lord.
Albany, that's but a trifle here.
who cares?
Like, that's nothing. Look what we got on this stage. Jesus Christ. We have three dead queens, and we have a king who's going down. Like, this is bad. And, you know, Albany turns to the other guys, and he's like, I'm out, man. I'm done. I'm finished. I can't do it. You lords and noble friends know our intent. What comfort to this great decay may come shall be applied. For us we will resign, during the life of this old majesty, to him our absolute power. You to your rights, with boot and such addition as your honors, have more than merited. All friends shall taste the wages of their virtues, all foes the cup of their deservings. Oh, see! And so Lear must be doing something, so he goes back. So Albany's very much about, this is the way things should be done, blah, 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 right? So this great decay, this old man who's withering away, I'm going to give him my power as long as he lives. And so he's still imagining he will be king at some point, at this point, but I think that changes very quickly. And he says to the rest of the people, you guys, I will give you all the things that you deserve with boot, right, with reward and additions like other titles and all the stuff. So this is kind of the speech that Malcolm makes at the end of this, of the death of Mackers, right?
Yep.
And everybody who deserves virtue will get virtue, and everybody who deserves otherwise will
get
what they deserve. And then this last bit, see. So Lear must be doing something, and that's up to the director and the actors. But Lear speaks. And my poor fool is hanged. No life. Why should a dog, a horse, a rat have life, and thou no breath at all? Thou'lt come no more. Never. Pray you undo this button. Thank you, sir. Do you see this? Look on her. Look her lips. Look there.
God.
Whoa. It's such an amazing. So, and my poor fool is hanged. He's remembering. Some people say that alludes to Cordelia, but I think it's like he's remembering the people that he loved in his end. And this is a very Romeo speech also, right? Romeo talks about Juliet, like, how could you be dead?
Yeah.
And all these other stupid things, flies and stuff, are living.
Yes.
Right? So it's that kind of feeling again of like, why should anything else be alive and you, not you?
Yeah.
But then this line, never. Now, iambic pentameter goes, ba-bum.
Yeah.
ba-bum, 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 ba-bum. So it's a regular 10-beat line.
Yes, but it's all backwards.
It's all backwards. What do we call that? When your heartbeat is not correct.
Arrhythmia.
Yeah. Amazing. So Shakespeare wrote it right into his speech. What is happening to him? He's having a stroke.
Or a heart attack.
Or a heart attack. Yeah. His heart is not working right. And he asks to have the button of his shirt undone because he can feel himself choking or, you know, the pressure in his chest, right? Mm-hmm. Incredible. So people who go, that's why is that line so awkward? I know when I worked with my Lear, he was like, I can't, that line is so difficult. Why do I have to say never 5 times? I'm like, because you're fucking having a heart attack. And there it is, right in the line. Incredible. And then maybe what happens? Does he see Cordelia's ghost as he's going out? Could. Thinks he sees her coming back to life somehow. Look, her lips are moving, right?
Yeah.
Look at her. And then he goes, it'd be beautiful if he sees her rising up to heaven, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something gorgeous. And Edgar tries to get him back. He faints. My lord, my lord.
And Kent, break heart. I prithee, break.
Edgar, look up, my lord.
Kent, vex not his ghost. Oh, let him pass. He hates him that would upon the rack of this tough world stretch him out longer.
Yeah, only someone who hates him would try to make him continue living. That's awful. His life has been horrible, this last bit of it, right? And Edgar, he is gone indeed.
Is that a shared line too?
Yeah, stretch him out longer, he's gone indeed.
Kent, the wonder is he hath endured so long, but usurped his life.
Yeah, he shouldn't have actually had life anymore, so he was taking it from something that, you know, like a person who doesn't deserve a crown, right? And then Albany, bear them from hence. Our present business is general woe. Friends of my soul, you twain rule in this realm and the gored state sustain. He's like, I fucking give up. You guys can have it. Okay? He's talking to Kent and Edgar. He's like, you guys rule. They're the only ones left standing. What? There's a captain, there's a gentleman, but, you know, it's Albany, Kent, Edgar.
And that's Albany's it. He's like, fuck this.
He's like,
I don't want this wounded
I don't want
state.
It. Yeah, gored, wounded.
Yeah. Kent, I have a journey, sir, shortly to go. My master calls me. Not say no. He's
amazing.
Definitely killing himself.
Yeah. It's a rhyming couplet. It's the end of something.
Yeah, he's going to join Lear.
Yeah. Yeah. He spent his whole life serving him.
Yeah.
I'm going with him.
Yeah.
It's like the pharaohs that needed to kill some servants so that they could have servants in the afterlife.
The afterlife, right.
Yeah. And then Edgar's like, oh my God. Edgar. The weight of this sad time we must obey. He's already got the royal pronoun. Mm-hmm. We must obey, right? Beautiful line here, though. Speak what we feel, not what we ought to say. The oldest hath borne most. We that are young shall never see so much nor live so long. Love it, because born most, born, B-O-R-N-E,
has
taken up,
yeah.
Right? But we have old and born, so it's like the turning of the Wheel of Fortune all the way back to the beginning. And then us young people are never going to have this kind of life to live. We couldn't bear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got double rhyming couplets. But I love speak what we feel, not what we ought to. Let's dispense with the
pleasantries
like
and
Albany had, you
crap,
know, like
yeah.
all of that crap speaking about things the way they're supposed to be doing, the compliments and the manners, fuck that. And he goes on to be king of Britain, and there actually was a King Edgar, and the thing he's noted for the most is ridding England of wolves, because there was an overrunning of wolves. I don't know if you ever heard the book The Wolves of Willoughby Chase. Joan Eichen,
nope.
Wonderful children's book. But there are these time periods in England where there were just wolves by the zillions running rampant. And it was dangerous to walk because she'd get attacked. Hmm. And so King Edgar took him upon himself to rid the country of wolves.
King Edgar and St. Patrick with the snakes.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. From a conservation point of view right now, it doesn't seem like so good.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what the country needed. And, you know, figuratively too, wolves are the evils, right? The evils that the country's embroiled in, if they're a
symbol.
Symbol, yeah. That's what I meant to say. Yeah. So there it is. Everybody leaves the stage bearing dead bodies. That's impossible. There's only three more of them left. How can they carry? This is assuming a cast of thousands, you know?
Yeah.
All the soldiers that were erstwhile dismissed come back to carry the bodies away.
Yeah. Hey, that was King Lear.
Yeah. Good and it was so much fun.
It was.
Thanks for hanging in there with us, you guys. And
next measure for
Oh, yes.
Harold Bloom says it's the most rancid of Shakespeare's plays. It also is his favorite next to Macbeth.
Nice. You go, Harold Bloom. You're going to have to read up on that so you can tell us everything he says about it.
I will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rancid is a word
I went to a Measure for Measure where you had to walk through a sort of run the gauntlet of this entrance into the play, and you walked through all this hallway of sex toys. And there was a dildo in the shape of Donald Trump. It was so horrible. I'm like, who would want to put that up inside the main?
Okay, so, anyway, that's rancid, a good place to stop.
Rancid.
Yeah, that's a good place to stop. And I'm Erin.
And I'm Diana. And we're off to drink whiskey.
Yeah, and eat pizza. But also, when we start Measure for Measure, you won't be
England. And we're going to do that again.
Yeah, so our sound quality may suffer a little bit, but you know we're charming and you love us.
Yes. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Ta-ta.
For additional fun shit from Fuck Shakespeare, you can head to our website at fckshakespeare.com.
Or find us on Instagram at fckshakespeare.
If you are enjoying this podcast,
you could support us for as little as 99 cents per month. Just click the support button on the page on Spotify or Anchor.
Tell your friends.